Aren't you glad you're saved? Proverbs chapter number 24. We're going to read one verse together. Verse number 16. Right in the middle of your Bible is the book of Psalms, the biggest book in the Bible, 150 Psalms. And right after the book of Psalms is the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 24 and verse number 16. We're reading from the King James Bible. If you have that, let's all read together in unison, shall we? For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. I'm going to talk to you this morning about don't quit. Don't quit. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Again, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for grace that we have through salvation. Dear God, I want to thank you, Lord, for this church. I pray that you bless these dear folks. I know there's folks that are sick, those that are working, flat tire this morning, couldn't get to church, and others traveling. I pray, that, Lord, that you meet with us, dear Holy Spirit, and speak to our hearts this morning, and help us to remember this sermon in the forefront of our minds, probably almost more than any other sermon we've ever heard in our lives. Please impress upon us the importance of this subject. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Proverbs chapter number 24, again, verse number 16. The Bible says, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. The sermon is for people who want to do right. If you do not want to do right, you can flush this sermon down the toilet. It won't matter to you. Doesn't matter what I'll say this morning. If you've already decided not to do right, you're already a failure with no hope, and you've already given up on God. Those who have quit on God and the Word of God are quitters who will quit people, quit things, and quit life eventually. I'm speaking to people who want to love God, who want to love people. I'm speaking to people who want to love the Word of God. People who do not love God have already quit on God and are going to quit on in other areas eventually. I'm not saying that folks cannot change. You can change the direction of your needle to heaven instead of hell. You can choose Jesus instead of Satan. You can change your attitude to one of never quitting to one that's always quitting and always giving up. People in America are being taught to be quitters. They have been taught to quit on God, quit on the King James Bible, quit on church. As a result, they have quit their marriages, they have quit their families, they have quit their children, they've quit their parents, they've quit their relatives, they've quit their friends, they quit, they quit, they quit. They hardly ever finish anything they start. They become accustomed to quitting. They have learned to be quitters. Liars are quitters. Fornicators are quitters. Adulterers are quitters. Thieves and robbers are quitters. Rebels are quitters. Lazy folks are quitters. Drunks and dope heads are quitters. They have quit on God. Do not quit on life. Do not quit on the Word of God. Do not quit on God. And do not quit on others. If you want to quit something, quit sin, quit disobedience, quit rebellion and anything that does not please God. Do right until the stars fall. It may be a slow progress, but quitting will not speed it up. The world is falsely teaching you to quit the job that you don't like, to quit the relationships that you don't like, to quit people that make you uncomfortable. But the Bible teaches you to work with sweat until the day you die. The Bible teaches you never to give up on people, to seek out those who are willing to tell you the truth, even at the risk of losing your friendship. Keep going, even if it's hard to see the results. If you get tired, rest a little if you have to, but don't quit. Most everyone struggles, ladies and gentlemen, but successful ones are the ones that do not quit. Immature people refuse to grow up, and they quit on people who tell them the truth. They quit on people who sin. They quit on people who are struggling. They quit on people who are going through a rough patch in their life. They quit on life because things are not working out right the way they want them to work out. They do not understand. They cannot see what God sees, and they cannot understand what God understands. They don't understand what God has in store for them. Sometimes people get the impression that good people, church people, saved people, do not stumble and fall. For some reason, they actually think that church people are immune from the consequence of either their own sins or the sins of society and the sins of a nation. Sometimes the best of God's people stumble and fall. The Bible says a just man falls seven times. The verse we just started with. A just man. This is not, I'm talking about the wicked. I'm not going to talk about just sinful people. I'm not talking about just rebels. I'm talking about a just man, the Bible says, falleth seven times. But he gets back up. Sometimes the best of God's people stumble and fall. Sometimes it's their fault. Sometimes it's not their fault. But God says a just man falls seven times and riseth back up. So even the best of God's people are going to fall. How big a fall or how long a fall, I can't tell you. All I can tell you is that a just man gets back up as soon as he possibly can. Like a boxer being pummeled against the ropes and then knocked to the canvas by a powerful right hook. And then the referee begins to count to 10. He slowly gets a hold of the ropes and pulls himself back up to try to get back into the boxing match. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Exodus 23:30, God promised the Israelites, by little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Everybody wants everything pronto. Snap your finger. I want it right now. Everybody, we live in a microwave society, dry clean, 24 hour. I mean, before you know, some of you don't know this, but when we had Instamatic cameras, we had to wait about 5 or 10 days to get a camera, get a picture back, you know. Then the Polaroids came out. Now you get them on your cell phones. You got them right away. We live in an instantaneous society that if you don't get results right away, you're deflated. You're depressed. You're discouraged. The best things in life take time, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to fall. You're going to stumble. Just get back up when you fall. I would rather be burned by somebody I tried to help, who even was a traitor like Judas, and would stab me in the back, then not help someone who needed a helping hand, who needed an encouraging spirit, and I just walked away from that person. I myself could not sleep at night if I knew I could help somebody and didn't try to help somebody. My conscience would bother me. Because you know what? Whether you want to admit it or not, every single person in this room has fallen. Outwardly or inwardly. You've fallen flat on your face at times, maybe privately. Maybe others have known it. Maybe it's been publicized. Maybe others have gossiped about it. Maybe nobody knows about it. But every single person in this room has stumbled at one time or another, has fallen at one time or another. The secret to life, listen to me good, is to get back up. I don't care how much hurt it, I don't care how much it hurts. I don't care how ashamed you may feel. I don't care how embarrassing it may be. The secret to life, listen to me good. I don't care what else you listen to me about. Don't quit. Get back up and get in the ring of life. Don't ever give up on your wife. Don't ever give up on your husband. Don't ever give up on your children. Don't ever give up on your parents or your siblings. Don't ever give up on your relatives and friends. Don't ever give up on neighbors and church folks. Don't ever give up on strangers and enemies. You let God be the one that gives up on them. And God does, by the way. But I'm not God and you're not God. I don't ever plan on giving up on anybody. I mean anybody. I am not God, and I don't want to play God. I do know that God gives up on people, but I don't want to play God. It is my duty to love everyone, including my enemies. I refuse to give up on people because God never gave up on me. He never left me when others left me. He has never forsaken me when others have forsaken me. He never walked away when others walked away. He never discarded me when others discarded me. Life has two rules, ladies and gentlemen. Rule number one, never quit. Rule number two, always remember rule number one. Winners are not people who never fail, but people who never quit. The temptation to quit will be the greatest just before you are about to succeed because Satan does not want you to succeed. It will hurt. It will take time. It will require dedication. It will require willpower. You will need to make the right decisions and choices. It will require sacrifice. You will need to push yourself to the max physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. There will be plenty of temptations to quit or get you sidetracked. But if you do not quit, it will be worth it all when you see Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. If you believe you can't, you won't. If you believe you can, you will. Failure is part of success. Even in your lowest moments, keep going. When you feel like quitting, think about why you started. Never quit in doubt when you started something in faith. Dreams do not come true. Decisions do. Waking up poor on a bench on the beach is better than dying in a mansion full of money. You can never expect to succeed when you only put in work on the days you feel like it. Remember this statement: rivers and men take the course of least resistance, and that's why they're both crooked. Be a child of God that goes straight through the obstacles. Turn your stumbling blocks into stepping stones. You cannot go back and change the past, but you can change your future starting today. In the book of your life, there may be some chapters filled with disappointments and sadness, failures and pain. But the rest of your book of life is up to you. Start writing new chapters so that the person reading the book of your life will jump with joy as they get closer to the end, as you have triumphed over heartaches, triumphed over burdens and self-inflicted failures. You can start writing a new chapter today in the book of your life right now, and you can end the book of your life on the triumphant victory over the failures, the sad and bitter disappointments of the past. The value of a person's life is not so much of what they have achieved in life, but how far they have recovered from the depths of the lowest times in their lives. And that's because most everybody cheers for the underdog. Most everybody cheers for the person who was knocked down but not out. The secret to life is to never, ever quit and keep doing right. Abraham believed in hope against hope when he was going to offer his only son Isaac on Mount Moriah. Moses hit a brick wall with the Red Sea in front of him and Pharaoh's army closing in behind him. It sure looked like the Israelites were going to lose to the Amalekites until Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands. It sure looked like Goliath was going to make mincemeat out of Saul's army until the shepherd boy David showed up. It sure looked like Jezebel's murderous act against Naboth was going to go unpunished. It sure looked like Haman was going to kill off all the Jews until the street preacher Mordecai showed up. It sure looked like Daniel was going to be dinner for those lions in the lion's den. It sure looked like the three Hebrew boys were going to get fried alive until Jesus showed up. It sure looked like Nineveh was going to be destroyed, 120,000 people, until God sent a whale to swallow up the backslidden, stubborn, and rebellious street preacher Jonah. It looked like the Israelites were all going to die of starvation until God used a few unnamed lepers to bring victory. It sure looked like Jesus was a failure to everyone, including his own disciples, when he was crucified. It sure looked like a ragtag team of Galilean misfits that followed Jesus until Acts chapter number 2 and beyond. It sure looked like Saul was going to imprison and kill all the believers until he got saved on the Damascus Road. It sure looked like it was all over for the Apostle John being exiled to Patmos until he finished the book of Revelation. It may look like to you that it's all over and there's no hope. It may seem to you that you're all washed up and failed completely, failed miserably, that you can't do anything right, that you've hit rock bottom too many times to count. I'm telling you, don't quit. It's not over. If you're breathing, if you're alive, do not quit. Don't give up. It may seem to you like you can't kick a habit. You're addicted to drugs or drink or gambling or sexual perversion or thievery or robbery or a life of crime. I'm telling you, don't give up. It may seem to you like you're tired and you've tried over and over and you feel like quitting. You just can't get it right no matter how hard you try. I tell you, don't surrender. Don't throw in the towel and do not wave the white flag. Do not quit. Job is one of the greatest examples in the Bible of waiting it out when everything went against him. Lost all of his 10 children in one day. Have you ever buried 10 children in one day, ladies and gentlemen? Job buried 10 children in one day. One of the richest men, if not the richest man of the East over there, lost all his possessions. A man of good health lost his health. And the only thing God left him was a rebellious wife who told him to curse God and die. You can't get much worse than Job. And then on top of that, his three so-called friends came and criticized him and rebuked him, telling him that it was all his fault of what's going on. He called them miserable comforters. And the end of the struggle, God multiplied Job, gave him twice as many children, gave him his health back, multiplied his riches more than what he had in the beginning. And the Bible clearly tells us to look at Job as an example of suffering. If we suffer because of our sins and our faults, we deserve it. But if we are willing to suffer for righteousness' sake, because we're hated, because we're persecuted, then God takes great pleasure in his people willing to suffer and willing to be persecuted, just like Jesus was crucified. Take your Bible, please turn with me to Luke chapter number 16, please. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 16. I'm talking about not quitting this morning. If you've never heard anything I've ever said before in my entire life, in your entire life, you listen to what I'm telling you this morning. The secret to life, listen to me good, is never to quit and never to give up. I don't care how dark it looks. I don't care how bad it looks. Luke, chapter number 16, and verse number 8. Luke, chapter number 16, and verse number 8. Jesus is speaking. And here's what he says. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Did you read that? I'm going to read it one more time. The Lord commended the unjust steward. That's amazing. He's not right. We don't know if he's saved. Sinful, wicked maybe. But the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. And here's what he says. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Most lost people, listen to what I'm going to say right now, please. Most lost people have learned truths from others that came from the Bible of God and have implemented those truths in their lives and have been blessed as a result of following and obeying those truths. Yet God's people who are saved refuse to acknowledge and follow those same truths. They're being cursed while they're alive because of their pride, their rebellion, and their disobedience to the Word of God in those areas. You know what's a shame? That lost families have better families than some of God's saved people do. You know what's sad? That some of the world people are sober-minded while God's people say it doesn't matter if you take a little social drink or not. You know what's sad? That the lost people work hard and are not lazy when so many of God's people are too stinking lazy and don't want to get a job. You know what's sad? When the world is more honest, has more integrity than most of God's people do. When the world is more concerned about their own health than God's people are. When the world's crowd are more concerned about money and financing and investments and retirement and money than God's people are. You know what's sad? That you can get more discipline from the United States Marine Corps boot camp than you can in the average big box church today. I certainly believe, I still believe that every single teenage boy ought to go into the Marine Corps 3 months of boot camp, straighten them out as much as possible, amen? But that's missing with God's people. They're not disciplined. They don't care about the little things. They let everything slide. Oh, it doesn't matter. Everything matters in life. Everything matters in life. Don't quit. Persevere. Don't give up. I'm not going to be around forever, and you're not going to be around forever. Our time on earth is limited. That limited time that God's given you, you have one duty of life, is not to quit on God, on people, on anything that's right. The problem with the world is that the intelligent people are full of doubt while the stupid ones are full of confidence. Winston Churchill said, success consists of going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. I'm going to quote people that are lost, that had more success and didn't give up, had more backbone than most of God's people do. Because you know what Jesus said? The children of this generation are wiser in their generation than the children of light. And they believe some of the Bible truths where God's people don't believe them. Lost people that God blessed. You know why some salesmen are the best salesmen? Because they follow truths that are outlined in the Bible and the Word of God. Charlie Chaplin said, success consists of going from, I'm sorry, that was Winston Churchill. Charlie Chaplin said, failure is unimportant. It takes courage to make a fool of yourself. Somebody said, everybody comes to a point in their life when they want to quit, but it's what you do at that moment that determines who you are. Vince Lombardi said, winners never quit and quitters never win. Aristotle said, it is during our darkest moment that we must focus to see the light. Richard Nixon said, a man is not finished when he is defeated. He is finished when he quits. Napoleon Hill said, victory is always possible for the person who refuses to stop fighting. Someone said, if you're going to quit anything, quit being lazy, quit making excuses, and quit waiting for the right time. Young boy Jim got a job during the Depression at grocery store. They didn't have grocery store. They had mom and pop stuff where they were handing out, the coffee beans and stuff like that. It was a regular mom and pop shop, you can imagine, of the 1920s. During the Depression, Jim got a job as a clerk. He came home for dinner. He sat at the dinner table and told his dad, Dad, I found how I could make more money. He said, how's that, Jim? He said, my boss showed me that if you mix the coffee with a little bit of dirt and add some weight to it, the customers don't know, you can charge a lot more and give them less coffee. You'll make more money at the end of the day. And during the Depression, Jim's dad says, I want you to go back and tell the guy you quit because I'm not going to have my son work for a thief. So what am I going to do for a job? Well, how am I going to make money? So I don't care. You go find a job, do something. And you know what he did? He started making his own stuff, selling his own stuff. And you probably know Jim by the name of J.C. Penney. I think God bless Jim. Don't you think so? You say, it's all over. I can't do it. I lost everything. That's what a lot of people have done and have given up before their ship came in, ladies and gentlemen. Don't give up on God. If you're breathing, don't give up. Probably, if not the greatest, one of the greatest basketball players that ever lived, Michael Jordan, said this. I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I have been entrusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. Obstacles don't have to stop you. If you run into a wall, don't turn around and give up. Figure out how to climb it, go through it, or work around it. If unsaved people have this mentality, why can't God's people have that mentality? If God Almighty has given you all power that's available to you from the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, why can't you do what the world does and even better and greater? Because you've quit in your mind. You've given up. You thought you should quit, and so you quit. Jack Ma, you may not know the name, experienced many failures in life. Wanted to go to college, but had trouble passing the entrance exam. On his first attempt, he scored 1 correct out of 120 possible points on the math portion of the exam. He failed the second time. Then later on, he was rejected for over a dozen positions, including a role at Kentucky Fried Chicken, where all the other 24 applicants were accepted. He came to America, 1995, he discovered the internet, and then he created Alibaba from scratch and became one of the richest men in the world today. You know why? Because he never quit. But you're going to quit because things don't go right. His story is, and all these people I'm mentioning, their stories are unbelievable. They feel like quitting, giving up. Hey, if you're a child of God, Your Father is the King of all eternity. Young man was fired as a young man from his newspaper job for lack of good ideas. Then he started his first company in 1921, but that quickly went bankrupt. He ended up eating dog food, literally eating dog food to survive. Would you continue eating dog food after your first company failed? Would you start another company? Probably not, but Walt Disney did. Yeah. Henry Ford left his long-term comfortable job in 1889 to establish the Detroit Automobile Company with $150,000 of investment. That's a lot of money back then. A lot of money. A little over a year later, it went bankrupt. Somehow his investors still had faith and gave him more money and invested in the Henry Ford Company in 1901. But that company went bankrupt too. So having lost all your investors' money twice, would you try a third time? Henry Ford did. And as you know, the rest is history. Fred got a note back from his director that said, quote, can't act, can't sing, slightly bald, not handsome, can dance a little. Fred Astaire didn't quit. One of the greatest baseball players of all time, retired in 1935, held the record for the most strikeouts in all of the major league. He said, I just go up there and I swing. I just keep on swinging and I keep on swinging. Every strike brings me closer to my next home run, Babe Ruth. Can you imagine being the strikeout king? Oh, that didn't stop Babe Ruth. Harlan was born in 1890. 5 years old, his father died, leaving his mother to fend for and support three children. His mother left for days on end, and Harlan was forced to take care of his siblings. Learned how to make bread, prepare vegetables by the time he was 7 years old. By the time he was 10 years old, he was working as a farmhand. When he was 12 years old, his mother remarried, subjecting the children to a difficult home life that ultimately forced him to leave the home the following year. When he was 14 years old, he began working at another farm in southern Indiana. He quit school when he was 16. At 17, he had lost four jobs. When he was 18, he got married. He joined the army and then washed out. At 20, his wife left him and took his baby. Later, he convinced his wife to return home. He worked odd jobs for years, never really making anything to stick. He owned a ferry boat company on the Ohio River. He sold tires in Kentucky. In 1930, he opened a restaurant inside a Shell Oil Company-owned gas station in North Corbin, Kentucky. He was 40 years old at this time. In July 1939, he came to own a motel and a restaurant, which was destroyed by a fire just 4 months later. In 1942, during the war, he sold his business and subsequently got divorced in 1947. In 1955, another one of his restaurants failed after an interstate route that led traffic past that restaurant was changed. They built a superhighway, and all his business was taken away because everybody went on the superhighway. At 65, he felt like a failure, decided to commit suicide. Sat down writing his will, but instead he wrote what he would have accomplished with his life, and he thought about how good of a cook he was. 65 years old. So he borrowed $87, fried up some chicken, using his recipe, went door to door to sell it. With a $105 Social Security check to his name, at 65 years of age, he went to 1,009 restaurants that refused him. They all said no until the next one said yes. And you know Harlan as Colonel Sanders now because he didn't quit. Hey, what's God got in store for you that you can't see, that you're willing to quit and throw it all away because you can't personally see it? Because you swallowed hook, line, and sinker this belief that I'm just a quitter, I can't do anything right. Well, you can't, but God can. God can use you. If God can use these people, God can use you. Thomas Edison. You ever hear the name Thomas Edison? Edison simply stated, he went through 9,000 failed attempts to invent a light. 9,000. He said, why would I feel like a failure? I'm quoting now. Why would I feel like a failure, and why would I ever give up? I now know definitely over 9,000 ways an electric light bulb will not work. Success is almost in my grasp before he invented it. But we just give up on people, on God, on church, on life. I'm not giving up. Until the day God lets me breathe my last breath, I promise you, I am resolved not to quit. His teacher said he was, quote now, too stupid to learn anything. He was fired from his first two employment positions for not being productive enough. He attributed his success to his mother, who pulled him out of school and began to teach him herself. You've probably heard of General Electric, have you? Because Thomas Edison decided not to quit. I have not failed 10,000 times. I have not failed once. I have succeeded in proving that those 10,000 ways will not work. When I have eliminated the ways that will not work, I will find the way that will work. That was quoted by a newspaper reporter before he found how to make an electric light bulb. He suffered from scarlet fever and ear infections, which left him with hearing difficulties in both ears, a malady that would eventually leave him nearly deaf as an adult. He was a hyperactive child, prone to distraction, was deemed as difficult and too stupid to learn anything, and has over 1,100 patents to his name today. Jim got an idea in his early 30s when he became frustrated with his Hoover vacuum because he kept losing suction. His big idea was to use a concept called a cyclonic separation to create the world's first bagless vacuum cleaner. It took Jim 5,126 failures to finally get it right. When he did, at the age of 36, no distributor in the United Kingdom would take on his new product. No one wanted to buck the trend. So Jim hit the Japanese market in 1983 with a hot pink version of his vacuum cleaner. It won an industrial award in Japan, and in 1986, 3 years after its first introduction, he was awarded his first U.S. patent for it. But manufacturers still didn't want to take it on in other companies. So you know what Jim did? He formed his own company in 1993 at the age of 46 to market the product, and he called it after his last name. And you guessed it, it's Dyson. At 7 years old, his family was forced out of their home, and he needed to work to support his family. At 9 years old, his mother passed away. At 19 years old, his sister dies. 22 years old, a business venture failed. 23 years old, he lost his job. At the same time, he lost his bid for state legislature. The same year, he could not get into law school. 24 years old, he borrowed money from a friend to start a business and went bankrupt the same year. 26 years old, he was engaged to be married to the love of his life, but she died and he was grief-stricken. At 27 years of age, he had a nervous breakdown and for 6 months was bedridden. That's what your problem is. Your problem is you're too depressed by choice. He had a nervous breakdown for 6 months, was bedridden. At 29, he lost his bid to become speaker. At 31 years of age, he was defeated trying to become elector. 33 years old, he marries, has 4 boys, and only one lives to maturity. 33 years of age, he runs for Congress and loses. 39 years old, he loses re-election. 39 years old, he failed in his bid to become the commissioner of the general land offices in D.C. 40 years old, his son Edward dies. 45 years old, he lost his race for the Senate. 47 years old, he lost the nomination for vice president. 49 years old, he lost his race for the Senate again. 51 years old, in 1860, he became the president of the United States of America, having been born in a log cabin. You know what Abraham Lincoln said? Quote, I'm quoting, "I walk slowly, but I never walk backward." Hey, how are you walking today? Throwing in the towel? Hoisting the white flag, surrendering to the enemy? Now, there's a battle going on. I'm never surrendering. I am never surrendering. I am never quitting. When the battle's raging, I'm not quitting. I'll quit when I take my last breath and I lay my burdens down on the other side, ladies and gentlemen. When I see Jesus, I'll quit. When I see my Savior, I'll lay down. But not until then. He didn't speak until he was 4 years old. At the age of 16, he failed to pass the examination for entrance into the Swiss Federal Polytechnic School in Zurich. He was in such dire straits that at the time of his father's death, he considered his son to be a major failure, which left him completely heartbroken. After graduating, he wondered, unsure what to do with his life. After some time, he ended up taking a job as an insurance salesman, going door to door in an attempt to sell insurance. Eventually, 2 years later, he took a job at the patent office as an assistant examiner, evaluating patent applications for a variety of devices. Albert Einstein, considered a major failure. Same thing can be said of Bill Gates. Mark Cuban, born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's now the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. You know, have you ever watched a Shark Tank? Great show, by the way. He was selling garbage bags, running newspapers, and everything in between. When he was 24 years old, he moved to Dallas, Texas on the word of some college friends in a 1977 Fiat X19 that had a hole in the floorboard. When he arrived, he worked numerous odd jobs. He simply couldn't find something that he was good at. He failed at bartending because he couldn't open a bottle of wine without the cork falling in. He failed at short order cooking because he never knew what the food was, whether it was ready, unless he cut off a piece and tasted it himself. He failed as a salesman at a computer distributor when he was fired after less than a year on the job. But he didn't quit. And now he owns the Dallas Maverick basketball team. You know what your problem is? You're thinking quitting too much. You're thinking about quitting God, quitting church, quitting family, quitting friends. Yeah, because it's easier just to walk away and be a failure. You know how Mark Zuckerberg started his thing? He was in college. Can you load of this? He had pictures of, and it's just the women, and he had all the men rape them, whether they were nice looking or not look. He got in trouble for it. And then that's where he started Facebook. And now he's a multi-billionaire because you know what? He didn't quit. And I'm not saying these people are good people. I'm not saying they're saved. I'm just saying they never quit. Vincent van Gogh, one of the most famous painters that ever lived, committed suicide at 37 years of age. He had only sold one painting his entire life. He considered himself a failure and didn't feel like it was worth living. He suffered through psychosis and delusional states. He battled mental illnesses. As I said, Winston Churchill said, success is not final, failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Success consists of going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. He applied to attend the Royal Military College in Sandhurst, and he failed the exam twice. He lost a total of 5 elections, including the very first one, which included 3 elections in a row. Throughout his life, he battled clinical depression. He also had a severe lateral lisp, had trouble speaking and making speeches at times, having dentures manufactured to help repair the impediments his speech caused. But he gave one of the greatest speeches in the last 200 years. They asked him to speak at some commencement service. I can't remember what university it was. They asked him to come and speak. Here's what he said. Never. Never. Never, never, never quit. And he sat down. Hey, if I could drill one thing into your mind, into your body, into your soul, into your spirit, is to change your attitude and don't ever quit. I'm skipping, man. Nick Vujicic. Born without limbs. Can you imagine being born without any limbs? Can't walk, care for your basic needs. Not only dealt with those challenges, but he struggled with depression and loneliness. So you know what he did? He became a success by being a motivational speaker. No legs and no arms. He's a best-selling author. His book, Life Without Limits. In 2006, he founded his very own company, Attitude is Altitude. They made a movie about this guy. Carole Tackis. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly. Listen to this one. You never heard of him, but he's one of the most famous people that ever lived in Hungary. He's a national hero to today. In 1938, Carole Tackis of the Hungarian Army was the top pistol shooter in the world. He was expected to win the gold in the 1940 Olympic Games scheduled for Tokyo. And while he was serving in his army, the Hungarian army, while he was training with his army squad, a hand grenade exploded in his right hand and blew his hand off. Top pistol shooter in the world had his hand blown off. So he shows up at the next tournament, and the guys who know him personally felt bad, said, "Oh man, thanks for coming to watch us shoot and to compete." He said, "I didn't come to watch you shoot and compete. I came to shoot." He learned how to shoot with his left hand and won the gold medal, beating everybody else with his left hand. Well, you would have had a pity party. While you would have given up and all your dreams and hopes were dashed. Some people don't give up and don't quit. Those are the winners, ladies and gentlemen. There's plenty of quitters. They pile up high. Those failures are named quitters. They quit their job. They quit their life. They quit their family. I ain't quitting. You can quit. Go ahead and quit. I ain't quitting. I have no plans on stopping. Can you imagine having your right hand blown off and the guys feeling sorry for you showing up? You know, I didn't come to watch, I came to shoot. You know what's wrong? The children of this generation are wiser in their generation than the children of light are. I'm glad Jesus didn't quit, or we wouldn't be saved. I'm skipping story after story here. Listen to this. Do you remember the guy that 15 years ago was hiking Colorado or somewhere? Boulder came and crushed his arm. He took his penknife out and literally cut his, on the fourth or fifth day he was there, cut his arm off to survive. He was drinking his own urine, drinking whatever water was left. He made a video to his family. He said, "You know what? I love you all. I'm going to die. I wish you well," whatever it was said. On the fourth or fifth day, when he realized his hand was so numb, he took his penknife out. He said a dull penknife and cut his arm off to survive. I'm going to say more about these stories tonight. Amy Brooks from Pittsburgh was born with congenital tetraphacomalia. She was born again with no limbs, no hands, no arms, no legs. She was abandoned by her biological parents shortly after her birth, and they even went as far as to ask the hospital staff to put her in a room and not feed her. Today, she can do everything from cooking to driving after her adoptive family encouraged her to be independent. Quote, "I obviously have to do things a lot differently than someone who's completely able-bodied. But I'm able to do things just in a different way." That's what she says. She puts her abilities down to the love of her adoptive family who have always encouraged her. Quote, "Doctors in the beginning," this is what her mom said, "doctors in the beginning definitely doubted," she said, "doctors in the beginning definitely doubted that I would be independent. My parents didn't accept that." She now runs her own YouTube channel. It's called How Does She Do It? She shows her followers how she manages to do everyday tasks without any limbs. Quote, I love to be able to share my story with others, not because I feel like I can do anything great, but I believe that my message is an important one for people out there, that we're here for a reason and each one of us has a purpose. Are you a child of God? Are you here for a reason? Is there a purpose for your life? Get over your pity party. Get over your depression and don't quit. I'm sick and tired of people just quitting, walking away from God, quitting church, quitting Bible reading, quitting prayer, quitting soul winning, quitting Sunday school, junior church, following up converts, just quitting. I ain't quitting. I'm not quitting. I have no intentions of quitting. I have no plans of quitting. I burned too many bridges. I'm not going back. No plans to go back to the world. Yeah, that man's name was Aaron Lee Ralston. The guy that, this happened, I just heard this news just a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. You may have heard about it. Listen to this story, and I may close with this. May. Chung Wai, if I'm pronouncing the Chinese man's name correctly. 59 years old. He had a bad accident in China. The man was trapped underground with the bodies of 78 of his dead coworkers. After an earthquake of a magnitude of 7.8, it hit the region and caused the wooden support structure of the mine to crumble and collapse. He's working the mine, China. Wai, managed to survive thanks to an emergency stash of rice and water stored in an underground depot conceived especially for this kind of a case. Mr. Chung was saved by the fact that a ventilation duct still connected his underground prison to the surface, allowing him access to air that was sufficiently pure to keep him alive. The man complemented his diet by catching and eating the countless rats that live in the mine, as well as collecting large quantities of some sort of phosphorescent moss, which constituted his only source of vitamins. He was just recently discovered last year. He was buried in that mine that had collapsed for 17 years. And you want to quit. You want to give up. The children of this generation are wiser than the children of light because they've quit on the King James Bible. They quit on old-fashioned preaching. They've quit church. They quit their wives, quit their husbands, quit their children, quit their parents, quit work, quit this, quit that. I can't take this anymore. Why don't you decide to grow up and mature and say, by God's good grace, I'm not quitting. By God's good grace, I'm not surrendering. By God's good grace, I am not giving up. Why don't you have that be your motto for the rest of your life? I don't need to be the richest man in the world. I don't have to have the fanciest car, the fanciest house. I want to serve God for the rest of my life without quitting on God. That's all I want to do. And by the way, that's why this church is still here. That's why this church is still here. Let's all stand. Dear Holy Father, give us men and women with backbone, with courage, with sobriety. There's so many people who have surrendered and given up to the world. Say, oh, what's wrong with the social drink? And given up on being sober-minded, being alert at all times. There's so many people who have given up, surrendered, walked away from the King James Bible. They have no revival, no power, no courage, no boldness. Do not win souls. Do not preach on street corners. Oh, dear God, give us the boldness and the courage that you have. The discipline, the self-control that the Lord Jesus had when he went to the cross to die in our place, that the Apostle Paul and the others had. Those who went before us gave us a heritage, not just in this country, but all through Europe, the Anabaptists and those who were tortured at the stake, singing as they were burned alive because they refused to give up. They refused to quit. They refused to surrender. I don't know what we'll accomplish here, but I pray it'll never be said that we gave up. We never quit. I pray it'll be said that we never quit. We never gave up. And we never surrendered. We never walked away from duty and responsibility. Dear God, please, God Almighty, bless this invitation. That we have folks resolved today that they will never quit. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you do business with God.